I'm very happy to welcome back Dr. Bud Labitin, a physician and investor who has produced books related to value investing as practiced by Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. According to what I saw on Amazon, he's written 23 books, including The Four Filters Invention and Illustrated Valuations, which we have discussed on air. And he always has the kind of grounded insight that is sorely needed in times like this. Hey, Bud, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Glad to be here.
Good morning. Where am I calling you from today? I know I'm from my new studio in my office. Where are you currently situated?
Steve, I'm actually visiting my mother in Titusville, Florida, and have been sheltering in place down here for about 5 weeks now.
Wow.
Normally, I live in Schererville, Indiana, which is in the northwest corner of Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Strange times, aren't they?
Yes.
So, did I count 23 books on Amazon, including the one that stated that you're running for president?
I believe I have about 9 or 10 books, Steve. Some of those are different versions. There's a large type version, and then 4 of them are audiobooks on audible.com.
Oh, wonderful.
So, I think the count is around 9 or 10.
Okay, that's enough. So, let's get to the business at hand. You know, this virus has wreaked havoc on the world economy to a point where much of the business world is shut down. So I asked the question that I think is on most investors' mind. Would you say that current stock prices in the U.S. accurately reflect a dire outcome or exactly where we stand in the uncertainty? Or do you think American businesses are on sale right now?
I'd like to break your question into two parts there, Steve. In my view, most of the market prices are still slightly overvalued, but not as overvalued as they were in late January. As far as outcome, it all depends on the rate of return to normalcy, which could be accelerated if we have a viable vaccine, or could be accelerated back if we have good treatments that prevent patients from going into the ICU. Those are the two factors in my view.
So when you're looking at stocks to buy, and we're going to get into some of the screens that you use and how you think, forgetting about the fact, you know, we all tend to look at this market as one thing, but it's actually, it's a conglomeration of many different businesses and many different industries operating on many different factors. When you look at your stocks that you've modeled for so many years, are you seeing particular pockets that look incredibly attractive now?
I saw a couple that I viewed as intelligent speculation a couple of weeks ago when the market had really dipped. I saw Boeing at 100 or below 100 as a bargain at that point, because prior to the coronavirus, Boeing had been selling above $400.
Yeah.
The other one that has kind of attracted my eye was Ford Motor, but Ford Motor has a complicated balance sheet. So in general, I tell folks, you know, be careful, do your homework, and also look at their balance sheets and their long-term debt structure.
Yeah, I want to get into that. And also, I want to say that any stocks mentioned are not recommendations. We're just discussing stocks. You have to do your own research, have your own advisor. Again, let me make that perfectly clear.
Oh, sure, sure.
You mentioned intelligent speculation. That's just not a couple of words put together. That's actually a thing, because you developed this intelligent speculation model from your reading of Ben Graham and Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. And I have the chart out in front of me. I want to go through each one of these so our listeners can understand a disciplined way of thinking about investing. Remember, investing is investing in businesses. It's not just numbers that move up and down in the market or, you know, on the internet, Yahoo Finance page, or wherever you're getting your quotes. There's actual economics behind it. So let me start you off. This is the intelligent speculation model.
Sure.
Number one, understand the economics, supply, and demand of the situation. Explain that for us, please.
This model that I developed is based on the 1946 lectures of Ben Graham to his students. And in that last talk, when he was saying goodbye to his students, he sort of said to them, I know some of you are going to end up on Wall Street, and some of you are going to get the temptation to speculate. And let me just read one sentence to you that kind of summarizes everything, Steve. Ben Graham said, "There is a real difference between intelligent and unintelligent speculation, and that the methods of security analysis may often be of value in distinguishing between the two kinds of speculation." So the model was imagined in a way that, what if Graham had lived into the modern Buffett and Munger era and applied the four filters, as well as adding the fifth filter of catalyst and conditions needed for a quicker profitable outcome. So that's how the model came into being. As far as number one, understand the economics of supply and demand of this situation. On that one, we have to really look at the time frame of the individual business that the person is looking at, because over the short term, demand is near zero right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully things will start to pick up steam. And then a person who engages in this, which I don't really promote at this point, because I think most folks should just stay calm in the waters right now, but really have to think about the time frame in which they want to lock up their money. Is it for short-term, medium-term, or long-term value?
Right.
And then the rest of them are fairly understandable. Number two is advantages versus disadvantages. You have to really think about, are there real advantages or are they just imaginary?
The company's competitive advantages?
Right, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And also advantages in the period for which they are speculating. Like right now, everyone can understand that the demand on Amazon is going up because everyone's at home. The demand on Netflix is going up because of everyone's at home watching streaming.
Yeah.
But then you have to be a little bit more realistic down the road, is when everyone returns to work, will that demand still be at this level, or will it be 10 or 20% less?
You know, I think when things get exciting, sometimes nasty, but volatile and aggressive, people tend to extrapolate current conditions far into the future. So for example, if the stock market's going down and you get that feeling in your stomach and you want to bolt, let's say you want to sell everything, it's because you're extrapolating that things are going to go to zero or they're just going to keep going down. And of course, they never do. On the flip side of that, when things are exciting and prices are going up and you're feeling like you're really a genius because somehow you're making all this money and, you know, you have some role in that, people tend to extrapolate into infinity the earnings of some companies like an Amazon or otherwise. So psychology plays an important role in this, right?
Right. I agree. Psychology and careful thinking. I think the number one thing is think about safety, think about defining reality. And if you do those two things, or the three things we talked about, people will make better decisions if they put more thought into them.
Talking about putting more thought into what you do, if you're going to take an approach of investing in individual stocks, I think there are methodologies and disciplines that one should use. And one of the most common types is setting up a stock screen. This is where you can actually go online or get a piece of software or use an app where you can ask or put in certain conditions of what kind of balance sheet a company should have, what type of net profit margin, and so on. And you've done that, and you do that all the time. And I want to go over one of the templates that you're using, the stock tracking template, I think you call it.
Sure.
So what I really liked about this was that when it all came out in the wash, you would rate a particular company in three ways. Is this a wife? Is this a girlfriend? Or is this a one-night stand? And I got a kick out of that. Because at first, when I looked at that, I was like, what are you talking about? You know, you're asking your opinions of your wife, your girlfriend about, you know, what you should be investing in. But seriously, what you're really saying is what?
What I'm saying is, if you were really digging into it and thinking about it, a wife would be someone you want to be with forever. And thus, you're looking for a company that has characteristics of endurance and profitability and superior qualities.
Okay.
As far as the girlfriend has some attractive qualities and applied to a business or a stock, you would put that category on your watch list because there might be opportunities where the business is selling at a significant bargain and you may want to buy it and hold it for a year or two. And then finally, the one night stand is the speculation where you see a bargain and it meets the criteria on the ideal business speculation model. There is a catalyst and you have a high confidence or probability that the catalyst will kick in. So it's a speculation, it's a short-term speculation, and you have to set upper limits and lower limits on your speculation. So you have to be more careful about those.
All right, so let's take a look at some of the companies. I think the first criteria that you're using, and I think it's incredibly important to use that today, is the amount of debt that a company has relative to their equity or relative to their assets. Because if business is going to slow down and for a protracted period, these companies need to be able to survive. So they need a decent balance sheet. They'll need cash on the balance sheet. They'll need access to borrowings if necessary. So their relative debt to their structure has to be pretty reasonable. So I noticed that that was in the first column. What kind of filter are you using to debt to assets here, Bud?
This is simply taken from a program that I wrote called Stocks Calc, and it gets data from multiple online sources. I think one of the examples I mentioned here is Apple has a long-term debt-to-asset ratio of 0.27. So that means 27% of assets, or relative to the assets, 27% are in long-term debt.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, it's pretty low, mm-hmm. and some companies have a lot higher. I believe Ford's is around 0.47. So mm-hmm. if you compare those two, Apple has a lesser proportion of debt to assets.
I was surprised to see on this list that ExxonMobil, which is in a really terrible industry right now, we've just saw oil prices plummet once again, they only have 7% of debt to assets. So this is a company that just on this one metric, and don't trade on this metric, folks, but it seems like a fairly strong possibility that they should be able to get through this based on this one metric.
I agree, Steve. ExxonMobil has a lot of oil in the ground, and they have control of numerous large oil fields across the world. So you know they're going to ride through this difficult period. It's just a matter of when prices return to near normalcy.
Yeah. You know, we're unfortunately running out of time. This went really quickly. So I'm just going to quickly mention some of the other criteria.
Sure.
The net profit margin, the estimated intrinsic value. Now, intrinsic value is something that is kind of it's a floating figure, and there's numerous ways to calculate intrinsic value, but one way is the discounted cash flow model. And so I think you use that in your filters?
Yes. For your listeners, I mentioned that my model in several of my books, and briefly, it's just taking an approach on the free cash flow, growing it out at a conservative growth rate for 10 years,
right,
flattening it from year 10 to 15, summing that all up, and then using the net present value method to get the present value of that amount of money and then dividing by the number of shares outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're limited for time, but it is mentioned in several of my books.
So actually, I invite my listeners to go on to Amazon and take a look at those books. And if you're interested in this, to purchase some of them. My guest is Dr. Bud Labitan, Labitan, a physician and investor. And he's, as I mentioned, he's produced these books and as a devotee of the Buffett, Graham, Munger school, uses these metrics to measure investment quality, especially in times like this, where you don't want to be stuck with companies that can go out of business and get into serious financial trouble. You really want to go with those that are tried and true and safe. Bud, thank you so much for joining me once again.
Oh, my pleasure, Steve.